What's up, sunshine? Happy Friday. I'm Coy Wire. We've got 10 minutes of news from around the world. So before we get to the weekend, let's finish this week strong. Big questions, big ideas, and tiny little apartments. We'll explain later. We're going to start in New York City with a debate sitting right at the intersection of public education and artificial intelligence. Mayor Zoran Mondani is leading the push to ban the use of AI in kindergarten through eighth grades in the nation's largest school district. As part of a one-year pause on any new proposals. New York City schools will also disable the AI features in more than 38 previously approved programs that officials say do not meet their new safety and oversight standards. High schoolers will have some access to carefully vetted AI tools under teacher supervision, and they'll be required to learn AI literacy, including how to recognize bias and misinformation and the dangers of over-reliance. But mainstream chatbots like ChatGPT and Claude, off-limits for all grades. Teachers can still use AI for lesson planning, but not for grading or testing students.
The tech industry wants us to believe that AI in early education is not only inevitable, but that it is necessary. We do not see it that way. I have yet to see a study showing that AI is beneficial for students in elementary and middle school, with the exception, of course, of research sponsored by the very corporations that stand to profit.
So when does technology help us think, and when does it start doing the thinking for us? New York officials say younger students need time to struggle with hard problems, make mistakes, and learn alongside human teachers and classmates. In response, some AI companies are rolling out education tools and funding AI training through teachers' unions. New York's policy affects roughly 600,000 younger students, and schools around the country will be watching closely. Women's rights trailblazer and feminist icon Gloria Steinem has died. Steinem's storied career spanned decades. She became the face of second-wave feminism in the 1960s and 70s. She co-founded Miss Magazine, and she was also celebrated as an author and journalist. In 2013, then-President Obama awarded her the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Here's Steinem in her own words after receiving that honor.
I feel blessed and enthusiastic and lucky to be part of a movement that is fundamental. Humans are communal animals. We need to have that kind of shared community, which doesn't have to do with how different we are. We need to be different. We learn from difference, not from sameness, but from shared values. And I have that. I mean, that's what you have in a movement. It's huge. And so it enables you to keep going.
A post on her official Instagram page says, quote, Gloria's greatest gift was her ability to listen to others, to make others feel seen and heard. Her words, actions, and example gave people permission to be their truest selves. Pop quiz, hot shot. Which one of these actors did not play or voice Darth Vader in the Star Wars movies? Jake Lloyd, Hayden Christensen, James Earl Jones, or Peter Mayhew? If you said Peter Mayhew, feel the force. Jake Lloyd, Hayden Christensen, and James Earl Jones all portrayed Anakin Skywalker, who went on to become Darth Vader at some point during his life. Peter Mayhew, he brought Chewbacca to life. If you've ever wanted to visit a galaxy far, far away, turns out you may only need to go as far as Los Angeles. The Lucas Museum of Narrative Art is set to open this month, giving visitors an up-close look at the art behind George Lucas's legendary storytelling universe. Yes, there is Star Wars with Princess Leia and Obi-Wan. There's also pieces from the entire Lucas archive that would make a bantha blush. But surprise, this is more than just a Star Wars shrine. Lucas and his wife, Melody Hobson, created the museum to celebrate something much bigger, the power of pictures to tell stories.
The picture is very powerful, and the stories are very powerful. And you combine them together, and those two elements create a society.
If pod racers and X-Wing fighters aren't your thing, you can still stay on target towards works by iconic artists like Frida Kahlo and Norman Rockwell, or famous comic books, pop art, and rare concept art from the original Star Wars trilogy. From Banksy to battle droids, the Lucas Museum is betting that a great story can transcend genres, generations, maybe even galaxies. Ah, Paris, home of the Eiffel Tower, countless croissants. But while the City of Light is famous for grand boulevards and beautiful buildings, some Parisians are living in spaces so tiny your bedroom might look like a mansion. Much of central Paris was densely rebuilt during the 1800s, right? With strict rules on building heights. More than a century later, some of those spaces are still being used as apartments. Our Saskia Van Dorn takes us inside some of the French capital's smallest abodes.
These are some of the smallest apartments you'll find in Paris. Some measure less than 100 square feet.
A private shower.
Wow, can you open both doors at the same time?
I've never tried, but I guess you could-ish.
They're called chambre de bonne, maid's rooms, hidden at the top of some of Paris's grandest buildings. Built for domestic servants, they were notoriously cold, with toilets often shared between tenants. As of 2022, there were still more than 90,000 of these tiny apartments across Paris.
The view from the rooftop is just amazing. Like, you see pretty much every big Parisian monument. My friends commented that, like, oh my gosh, you're going to have a depression in like a 1 month's time because it's so tiny, like it's a prison cell. And technically, I guess prison cells are bigger.
Anatoly is an engineering student who's called this place home for the past year. He pays about $800 a month in rent. Expensive by the square foot, but still cheaper than most Parisian apartments.
It's not a sacrifice, it's a trade-off. In engineering, you don't have good solutions, you only have trade-offs. So, yeah.
What's the trade-off here?
The space for the location, pretty much.
And there's another price to pay for living in central Paris. Lots and lots of stairs.
You do this every day.
It's terrible.
Oh,
I know. It's a sport.
Lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too.
Welcome. You need a minute.
This is Gladys, and she lives right at the top on the seventh floor. It's not just Parisians willing to squeeze into these tiny homes. Tourists do it too, paying as much as $140 a night to stay in the heart of Paris. And whether they're here for a night or a year, perhaps this is part of what they're paying for.
Wow.
You can see the view.
Yes. And the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah, the Eiffel Tower.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, one man's valiant push to make sure the heroes of September 11th are never forgotten. As the U.S. will soon mark 25 years since the terrorist attack, retired United Airlines flight attendant Paulie Venito is pushing an airline beverage cart 220 miles from Boston to Ground Zero in New York City. The 67-year-old has previously traveled more than 750 miles since launching Paulie's push in 2021, following routes symbolizing the flight paths of the four hijacked planes.
I made a promise to myself that I would make sure these crew members of these aircrafts were honored and recognized for their heroics. So I went and got four more beverage carts, and I designed each one for each airplane.
Paulie adorned each cart with pictures of the crew members that were lost that day. His journey will take him across 60 cities and towns over a span of 28 days, each step honoring the lives lost on September 11th. Powerful stuff. All right, no show on Monday in observance of Labor Day, so we're back on Tuesday. Before I go, shout out time. Miss Ramey and all my Jaguars at King Middle, and Dr. Lowe and all my Parkside Pandas here in Atlanta, Georgia. I see you, Jasper and Daisy. Rise up. And this next shout out goes to... Come on in here, Nadir. The District 117 Life Skills Academy in Lake Villa, Illinois, sending some of their favorite CNN 10 stories on this quilt. I see the cherry blossoms in D.C., the Olympics, some constellations from the Rubin Observatory. This means more than I can possibly say. Thank you so much. Play that Friday music, Nadir. I'll be on the sidelines for TNT this weekend. West Virginia hosting Coastal Carolina. So if you see your boy in Morgantown, give me a shout out. Go and make someone smile this weekend. Remember, you are more powerful than you know. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. It's been a blessing to spend this week with you.